Pastor Anthony does to preach at the altar call, and then you ask me to do
it. Yeah, he preach all the message and get everybody all stirred up and talk about, now we're going to hear a word. Amen. But we thank God, if you're a visitor, our friend, amen, we pray that you feel at home at the Godfrey Church, where we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Yes, sir.
Once again, we may not always do it, but we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Yes, sir.
Because there is one Spirit and one body, even as we are called in one hope of our calling. This is all he wants.
Right.
It says one Lord, one faith, and most of all, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. For that we say, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Truly, we are honored. For a few minutes. We are honored to be in the house of God. Amen. Thank God for giving Sister Marcella family mercy. You can never take it for granted. Just because you get in a car, there's no guarantee that you're going to make it to your destination. So every time we leave home and get to our proper place, we need to say thank you, Jesus. Amen. But before we go any further, I want everyone to stand. We're going to say a prayer for everyone that's been affected by Sandy, families, homes. I mean, it's just havoc all over. Not just the water, but the snow and the ice and the deaths, and they're still finding people. Amen. So the Bible said we ought to lift one another up in prayer.
Yes.
Amen. So I think we'd be remiss in such a time of hardship. That's why, you know, sometimes good to watch the news, to see some real stuff that people are going through.
Yes.
Amen. And give us a greater peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we lift up all of those that have been affected by the tropical storm Sandy. Lord, we pray for those that have lost homes, and mostly important, those that have lost loved ones. Father God, we stand in the gap as a comforter. Lord, we know the rebuilding process and the pain and the agony. But Lord, we come before you because the word declares that you are God, our comforter. Lord, we ask you to comfort every family that's been affected. Lord, every church. Lord, every home. Lord, every business. Lord, we ask you for comfort. Now, Lord, we trust and believe that if we ask anything in your name, you'll do it. Now all of these blessings and favors we're going to claim in Jesus' name. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. That is the authority. We may be seated again. When you put the name on it, amen, that's the authority. So we thank God for that. You know, as they were testifying and everything was going forward, the praise team used to sing this song. Amen. Sometimes they get advanced and they don't go back to some of the old songs that they used to sing in the beginning. So you know how when you go to one of those concerts and they send some little requests up on paper? Maybe every once in a while y'all need to write some of those requests down and give them to Minister Simon. But he used to sing a song, He Knows
My Name.
My name.
Yes.
He knows my every thought.
Yes.
God sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Maybe nobody else will know your name this afternoon. No one else may know what you're going through. But God knows your name. And what I like, he said he knows, I believe it says our thoughts, is that right? God knows everything that you experience. And what I like about God, amen. You know, sometimes we get so tough in our dealings. He said, be strong. You don't have to cry. He said, he sees each
tear
that falls. Hallelujah. Minister Simon said, nobody else saw the tears he was crying, but guess what? God saw those tears. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears us when we call. Anybody call him? Give God the way you want. If you're calling, he hears your call. I'm so glad that I know who the Savior is. Because we all reach an impasse in life. where we just can't seem to get enough human help. Mm-hmm. Amen. Man can't do enough.
Thank you.
But I'm so glad God said, is there anything?
Hard for God.
Is there anything?
Too hard for God.
Too hard for God. The song said, if you don't believe it, why don't you try him and see for yourself our God that we serve. Amen. This afternoon, still concerned about our spiritual senses. On last Sunday, we went over that we have ears, but we spiritually. And the Lord gave, Lord Jesus himself spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos, for all seven churches, he ended them with this one saying, he that has an ear, let him
hear
what God says unto the churches. What is the Spirit saying to you? Hallelujah. How is God trying to direct your step? He that has an ear, let him hear. I know we come to church, we shout, we dance, but do we have a spiritual ear to hear what God is saying to us? Amen. Is his word finding a
lodging
place in our heart? It's so important in this day and age that we live in that we acquire God's favor. God's favor is synonymous with grace. And grace is God's help when you
need it.
There is not a man alive that can give you grace.
Right.
Amen. There is no one that can work it out for you like Jesus.
Right.
Because the scriptures say he's a present help in a time of need. Anybody in need?
Mm-hmm.
You need God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You need someone that can do what no other power can do.
That's right.
Somebody said, no other Holy Ghost power can do.
Right.
So this afternoon, can we pray that God, Lord, open my spiritual ears. Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Amen. Just like Balaam, when he went to curse God's people. Now, you try to figure out, how can a man of God go and curse God's people? Isn't that an irony? Isn't there something wrong with that? The man of God is going to curse God's people. But the Lord did not want him to go, so God stood in the way three times to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Is God trying to stop us from some stuff?
Yes.
Have we purposed and determined to do some things, and God has been in the way so many times? And we get confused and say God is against us. God stood in the way to stop Balaam three times because he did not want him to curse God's people. And guess what? The people of God didn't even know it.
That's right.
Sometimes some things happen and we don't know what's going on, but God knows. So behind the scenes,
yes,
when nobody else sees and knows, God is trying to, as I was saying earlier, order our steps through his word.
Yes.
And he stands in the way to stop us, but we purpose that we're going to do what we want to do. We purpose we want to do it our way, so we press forward. Finally, after Balaam got upset, he was so spiritually out of it. This is how his eyes were messed up. Balaam's eyes were so spiritually messed up that when his own donkey started talking to him, instead of him stepping back and saying, whoa, right? If y'all go home tonight and y'all pet this afternoon and your pet start talking to you, don't keep going. Hey, man, if you start talking to you, don't stop. But Balaam was so determined because his spiritual eyes was closed. He did not see the angel of the Lord standing three times to slay him. So he begins to commune with his donkey. And after all, he had to go through all that for God to open his eyes. What was Balaam's problem? He was determined to do what he wanted to do, even in opposition to God. This afternoon, have any of us purposed or determined we're going to do some stuff in opposition to God? I'm letting you sit down because I'm going to lead up to the Word of God, and I don't want y'all to get tired. You know, y'all a little old in here, so want to exert all your energy. Amen. So we let our young people do the standing, and you old people can sit. Hallelujah. Amen. But Jesus, when they went to get Jesus, now this is, I'm trying to get you to see, when you purpose to do some stuff, and it's not of God, God will be moving your mess and you won't even see it because you're spiritually blind and out of tune. When they went to get Jesus after Judas had betrayed him, when they came to Jesus, Jesus asked them a question. He said, whom do ye seek? He already knew. But God was going to do a spiritual manifestation before their eyes so that they would have a witness of who he was. So when they asked Jesus, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus. He said, I am he. Now this is the spiritual part of it. The Bible said every man that came to get him went back and fell down prostrate and began to worship him. Then they got up and took him captive. No. You would think. When he said, I'm he, and everybody went back and fell down and worshiped him. But they still were determined to do what they wanted to do. So the Lord went a little further after that. After he showed him his majesty and the power, and when they involuntarily, this wasn't something they decided they were going to do, all of them went back and fell down and worshiped. Now, when we look at that, we're like, you know, it had to be something wrong with them, right? How can they fall down and begin to worship and honor and praise God and then get up and still take him captive? Self-willed, it's short like that. They had purpose what they wanted to do. So the Lord said, I'll go a little further. So when they began to take Jesus, Peter stood up and cut off Malchus, who's one of the servants of the high priest. He cut off his ear. This is what happened when you're determined to do what you wanted to do. When he cut it off, the Bible said it fell on the ground. Now Jesus stopped his path to the crucifixion, picked up the ear, and put it back on, and the Bible said it was restored whole. But in our self-will, in our own determination, God will be moving in our midst, and we'll miss it. Amen? Now with that in mind, let's stand, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1. Our message today is, Lord, I just want to be right. I don't care about riches. I don't care about honor. I don't care about fame. I don't care if anybody ever says my, I'm talking about me, I'm not talking about you. I don't care if anybody ever calls my name, I just want to be right. If I'm right, I know that when my time down here is over, I know where I'll be. But I don't want to be right in your eyes because I can fool a lot of you, maybe, maybe. But you can be guaranteed, I cannot fool God.
Right.
So I want to be right in the eyes of God. We should all want to be right in the eyes of God. Our message today is, Lord, make me right in your eyes. It's not important for anybody else but God. We're going to start with verse 2, and then we'll conclude with verse 9, and then I'll read the rest of it. Verse 2 through 9. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fact thereof,
and the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. And we trust and know that your word is blessed already. But we ask you to speak to us on this afternoon and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God will say unto the church. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. We want to be right before God. Lord, if I'm not right, please make me right. It's not important for any man for me to be right. I want to be right in the eyes of God. We're going to come back to this. Let's go to Psalms 19 quickly, and we'll come back to this. Right in the eyes of God. In being right in the eyes of God, we must do the things that are acceptable unto God. Amen? Not acceptable to another individual. Society and as a whole, the pressure that the world and everything has taught us, we always look to man, seems like first, without even a regard to God. But it's important this afternoon that we're acceptable unto God. We're going to start off in Psalm 19. Oh, sorry. I think it's verse 7. We'll start off with Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be right in your eyes. Verse 7 reads, well, why do we want to be right in the eyes of the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is converting the soul. This converting means when we get wrapped up, tied up in God's word, he's able to restore our souls. To restore, that means that some things have been lost. There are some things missing. Something has been left out. So only the law of the Lord is perfect enough to restore your soul. Anybody need restoring this afternoon? You need to go to the Word of God. The testimony of the Lord is no doubt in God's Word. The testimony of the Lord is sure making wise those that don't understand. Hallelujah. When I get confused, I just go and see what God has already done. That's what a testimony is, what God has already done. The statutes of the Lord are right. Where we at in the Lord. That's why, Lord, I want to be right in your eyes. Not a man. Not another individual. We must first be right in the eyes of God. The commandment of the Lord is and because God's commandments are pure, and his commandments are not grievous and not dying, and they're what? Enlightening? Spiritually, I can see. Amen. I can see that the devil is trying to set me up. I can see, hallelujah, that I thought I'd do it this way. And even in my mind, though I thought to do it this way, I took some time and acknowledged God. I decided at this stage of my life, I've been around long enough, that I wouldn't trust in my own understanding. I wouldn't lean to my own understanding, but I would trust in the Lord. And in trusting in the Lord, I gonna still acknowledge him in all of my ways. Cause I need God to direct my path. So even though I feel like I ought to do this, I'm like Jesus said, I'm gonna first sit down and consider the cost. Hallelujah. Be right in the eyes of God. Amen. So he goes, and the fear of the Lord is when you reverence God, you don't have to worry about anything else. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring. Lord, you know what? What this really means is when you have to make a decision, and you're going to make it based on pleasing God and reverencing the man. Now, when you reverence a man, that's short term. But when you reverence God,
right,
enduring forever. I think sometimes in church, we make too many decisions based on a man. And because we make our decision based on this individual, we get short-term results. Short-term, and then before you know it, we're right back where we started off all over again. Because we have not learned to lean on Jesus. We used to sing a song, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. Why? I'm learning. Lord, thank you. I said I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Now, a lot of us are learning some stuff. But are you learning to lean on Jesus? Are you trusting in God as all your situation wrapped up in some individual? Amen. Is someone else pulling the strings in your life instead of God? He says, the judgment of the Lord are true and
righteous.
Whatever God does is true and righteous. Next verse. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much. Lord, I need you more than riches. Lord, I need your divine favor and direction more than any money. Even the best of money, Lord, I need you first. Amen. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant. Lord, when I see, when I abide in everything about God, I get some warnings. Amen. God stops me. God slows me down. God redirects me how. I'm staying in God. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in the keeping of them there is. Hallelujah. Do we understand what it means to stay in God? Do we understand the blessings? Do we understand the ways that are made when we stay in God? He said, more by them. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that I didn't know what to do. So I decided that maybe I could be wrong. So I contacted the man and woman of God and said, I don't need you to know my situation. God already knows. But can you pray with me? See, I'm the kind of person, I don't like to know everything. Because when I get up this, and the Lord is leading me, I don't want you to say, well, he said that because he knew. So my wife came, she said, this happened. I said, don't tell me, because I don't want to know. You know why? Because unfortunately, the devil has a way of playing in our minds. We come to church and say, oh, he said that because he knew this. So I don't want to know. That way, when you accuse me falsely, I'll be able to say I did not know. I had a situation not too long ago, and they're not here. Thank you, Jesus. So y'all can rest with me. Ride my horse with me and don't kick me off. Ride with me and don't kick me off. They're not here in church. And they were talking to me and counseling me and said, now I want you to go back and tell this person this, that, and the other. God said, don't do it. And it didn't happen that week, but a few months later, The person was mad and was calling me and telling me and telling everybody all this stuff that I'd done. So finally, when they got back to me, they said, I knew I shouldn't have talked to you. I said, well, I didn't tell anybody, not even my wife. Their eyes looked like saucers. Looked like saucers. Because there's sometimes, there's some things we don't need to know. So I would not tell. Even though I felt the leading to do it, God said, do not say anything. Then when they came out and after they finished running me down, they had to call everybody and apologize because they were wrong. So I don't like to know, because we have a way of letting some insignificant stuff come in our minds. But when we want to be right before God, when we come to church, we come with an open heart and a willing spirit to hear what thus saith the Lord. When you build up a wall before you get here, the donkey can be talking and you won't hear. You'll fall down and worship God and won't even recognize His majesty. He'll perform miracles before you like He did before the Pharisee. They still could not understand that He was God because they were determined to do their own thing. Lord, I thank you. That's right. Like I said, I know people, ever since I was a little kid, people always said a lot of stuff about me. But I thank God, my mom always said, son, don't pay no attention, just keep going. All kind of stuff. I remember in school, I had some of the worst situations, but you know what? The one thing I got when I was in the fourth grade, 9 years old, never forget it, in Georgia, this was before the devil got involved with schools. Now the devil was influencing what they do in school. They gave me a Bible, New Testament, Psalm of Proverbs. I read, and I wasn't saved, and I still need a lot of help. But my mom always directed me back to the Word of God. I had that same Bible from the time I was 9 to the time I was 19 years old. And you know, I wasn't no preacher or nothing, but I carried it in my pocket everywhere I went. Went to school, carried my Bible. Matter of fact, we were in high school. This is when I'm in high school, because I was not ashamed of God. And I knew where my help coming from. And I knew it did not come from a man. In high school, I dropped it one time and they played a joke again. I tore that place apart looking for that. It probably cost less than a dollar. It didn't cost a lot, but it meant everything to me. I looked all over my Bible. This is God's my witness. From the time I was in the fourth grade until I graduated from high school into college, I took the same Bible. Amen. Because I knew that was God with me. There was a lot of times that I was going to do some stuff wrong. And all of a sudden, something said, don't do it. I never forget there was a time we were walking on a wall that was probably about 100 feet high. And you know, kids are kids, so we make mistakes. And I was on the wall and I was leaning and nothing but concrete below. I got this far over and it seemed like a hand just took me and picked me back up. I never walked on that wall again, though. But that was God with me.
Yes.
We need God.
Yes.
More than anything else. When I was on that wall, my mom, father, and nobody else could help me.
Right.
There was a group of us, but they did not have an arm long enough to reach down and pull me back up.
Thank you, Lord.
So he says here, the keeping of God's word and statutes are of nobody else can do you like God. Nobody else can make ways in your life like God. Nobody else can open shut doors for you like God. Hallelujah. The next verse reads, who can understand his? The word of God leads us. It directs us. Errors are false. Things that are in our lives that are wrong. Who can understand the error of his ways? He says, the one cleanse me from the hidden things in my heart that I don't even know is there. Any of you ever do some stuff that you shock yourself? Well, he was saying, when I get it, God, like I should be, and when I purposely right before my God, amen, he will begin to reveal unto me my secret faults. God will begin to direct and show me the way I must go. That's why I said, Lord, I want you to make me right. I don't want nobody else to do it but God. Next verse said, keep back thy servant also from that is, I know to do the right thing. But I'm the pressure cooker. Now, you know, it's like 400 prophets and 450 prophets of the grove against Elijah. Now, as in God, do I go with the majority or do I stand alone? Well, presumptive sin is, you know it's wrong, but everybody else is doing it. So though I know it's wrong, I know it's not the right thing to do, but I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, so I'm going to hurt God and please the man. Lord, keep that. Presumptuous means you deliberately, willingly sin against God. You deliberately, willingly go contrary to the word of God. He said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. When you begin to presume on God, then all of a sudden they will have dominion over you. The sin will begin to order your life. It'll begin to direct you. He said, now if I don't presume on God, when I honor God in his word, then shall I be. I'll be pleasing in the eyes of God. Amen. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent of the great sin of going against God. This afternoon, are you innocent against going against God? Have you determined to be right in the eyes of God? Are you just going along with the crowd? Everybody else is doing it. Hallelujah. It's for God I live, and for God I die. The next verse reads, let the, I want to be right before God. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. Amen. When I do the right things in the eyes of God, he will make even my enemies be at peace with me. When a man ways, please God, you're trying to get help, you're trying to get deliverance, but you're pleasing the wrong one. When I decided to please God, he'll make my enemies be at peace. So let the words of my mouth. Lord, hallelujah. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. Let the words of my mouth, Lord, in the meditation of my heart, be acceptable. I said be acceptable in
thy sight.
Thank you, Lord. This word meditation means as I plan and think and see and do. But it also means to resound over and over again in the heart. It says like the other plays of songs so much that you know the words of the song in your sleep. What the psalmist is saying, the meditation of your heart. Now, you can make it acceptable or unacceptable. When you get in a lot of mess and you just keep playing over and over in your heart, you come to church, you can't hear God. Because that same thing that you have meditated on, that same resounding, that same thing that's going over and over and over and over, now it's going to see expression. Yes. That meditation, whatever is in your heart, I don't care who you are, when you play it over and over again, it seeks expression. Yes. But when you play the things that are acceptable to God over and over in your heart, that also seeks expression. Yes. So that word meditation is a Hebrew word which means to resound. Sometimes when we come to church, we put so much mess in us from somebody else or something that's happened that we can't hear from God. So the psalmist said, first, let the words acceptable in? Lord, when I play it over and over, let it be right. And whose sight? In God's sight. Play it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Then all of a sudden it seeks expression. Why? Because if a man thinketh in his, Lord, thank you, so is he. I said, as you think in your heart, so are you. So you play it over and you play it over and you play it over. Now look at your life. I look at my life. Is your life the result of you playing the same meditations over and over that are acceptable to God? Or is your life the result of playing something that is not acceptable unto God? Is it acceptable or not? He said, oh Lord, my Redeemer means to buy something back. You were all right before, but now it's time to get some stuff back. With God. Too many times in church, we try to get from God, but unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we try to do it our own way. You know, get rid of all that negative stuff. Can you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8? Get rid of all of that stuff that's been playing over and over that's taking you away from God. Get rid of all that stuff that you've been playing that's not acceptable to God. Get rid of that. Paul says to the Philippian church, finally. Amen. We've been doing a lot. I was going to quote it, but I'll let you read it so you don't think I'm making it up. He says, finally, my brother, we want to be acceptable in whose sight? That's the only one that counts. God's sight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, these are the things that we have to meditate on. These are the things when we have to play over and over and over in our hearts. Finally, my brethren, things are true. Are you letting some untrue things keep circulating in your heart? Amen? The things that are true, the things that are. Are you believing a whole bunch of lies and just meditating? If that meditation is playing over and over, eventually the meditation in your heart will become you, because as a man thinketh when? That's how he will act. When we think carnal and unsaved, we will act carnal and unsaved. And when we think saved and on fire for God, everybody here will look and say, that brother or that sister loves the Lord. Was playing over and over. These are the things that we must play in our heart. What flower things are what?
Just.
Just means right. Amen. Just means justice. I owe you 50 cents, so I'm going to give you 49. That's not just. Amen. That's a simple example. Do what's just. You know what? I'm going the exact same way as this person. They made me mad 2 years ago. Let them walk, catch the bus. Amen? That's not just. You got to start playing the right things over your heart. Because whatever's on the inside, eventually will manifest itself where?
Outside.
Can we say outside?
Outside.
Whatever you are meditating on over and over. Amen. It's like a fire. It just begins to burn and burn and burn. And all of a sudden, you become incensed. Incensed means it's a fire that's burning. The Bible calls it a world of iniquity. The scripture also says that when you let that untrue, unjust, stuff that's not honest, things that aren't pure, and the things that aren't lovely, we allow them to keep burning over and over. That meditation. Paul calls it a root of bitterness. And all of a sudden, that root that's been down in there will spring up and trouble you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Say, I read that, but it's in there. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and read it for yourself. Verses 14 through 16. You're meditating on the wrong thing over and over and over, and all of a sudden it springs up. And you look at yourself and say, what happened? And now you're troubled. Why? The wrong meditation, the wrong thing in the heart, the wrong thing in the mind, and the words that are coming out of your mouth are not acceptable unto God. Said, next verse, whatsoever things are of a... That's why the Bible said, don't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. What reports are we believing? What are we listening to? Who are we listening to? What are we doing? Is it acceptable unto God or not? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to close here. I'm not going to take a long time. But all I'm trying to do is direct us back to God. I want to do what's right in the eyes of God. It doesn't do me any good to come to church and play the role of a pastor and be a hypocrite and everything else. And then eventually the Bible says, your sins will find you out. Your hypocrisy will. If you're living a lie, it will. If you're sneaking and ducking and diving and conniving, it will find you out. It'll do none of us any good to play the church role. Because God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should repent. God said, if I said it, shall I not do it? If I spoke it, shall I not bring it to pass? Because that's the kind of God we serve. Whatever you do in the dark, the Bible says, shall be brought to the light. Whatever you've done in secret shall be revealed. Amen. Whatever you've done in the corner will come out in the broad, because that's God. And eventually, because your life is out of tune, out of whack, God will find you out. He'll find you out. No, how did they know? God knew. You know, you ever do the telephone thing? Did you tell this? Did you tell? No, God knew. Yes. So, but I will tell you this. It's not just. It's not true. It's not honest. It's not lovely. It's not a good report, but don't tell nobody. God said, I already told you. He said, not only did I hear you, as Sister Karen said, Psalms 139 said, God said, I knew the thought before you even uttered it, because I know your thoughts are far. So, when you seek to please man, you will mess up every time, because you'll forget about God. And you won't do the things that are acceptable in his sight. In the case of Cain, Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve failed God, God showed them the intimation of sacrifice, how to make things right to cover sin. So what God did was he took animals and made coats of skin for the sacrifice, to show them that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So the only way that your sin would be covered is you gotta go through the... That's why Jesus died for us, because he was the blood sacrifice. So you can't be right outside the blood. You gotta go. Somebody said, well, I'll go to another church and steal. Gotta go through the blood. I'm not gonna tell anybody anything. It's just gonna be between me and you. It's not gonna be right till you go through the blood. Can we keep my private secret? Amen. I don't have enough time to go through all the secret things and how God will reveal them. He will reveal them. But God showed Adam and Eve the only way to cover your sins is you have to present an animal sacrifice. And that sacrifice has to be the best of the flock. The first thing without a spot and without a blemish or wrinkle. In other words, it has to be as perfect a sacrifice as you can be. Amen? So Cain said, well, I don't have to worry about doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it my way. So I know what God has said, and I know what my dad Adam, and my mom Eve has taught the children. The only way to be acceptable to God is we got to present an animal sacrifice. Cain said, you know, I am not going to get no animal. I'm Cain. I'm the firstborn. I'm going to do it my way. Amen? So Cain gives God of the fruit of the land. Abel, whose name means keeper, comes to God with an animal sacrifice. Amen? So that brings us up to here. He says, verse 17, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. No, I don't want to start there. Hold on. You jump me. I think we're missing out some stuff. No, you did good. No, go back to verse 6. You did good. Amen. That's being led. But one verse off. And the Lord said unto Cain,
why are you wrong?
All I said was do the right thing. All the people are trying to do is get you to do the right thing. What are you mad about? Lord, thank you. Cain was mad at God. Not his mom, not his dad. Cain was mad at who? God. So now because Cain is mad at God, he's going to start playing some stuff, some wrong meditations in his heart. And it will always get expressed. He said, and why is thy
countenance
gone? Why the man talking about somebody looking at you, you don't have no joy? He said, what's wrong, Cain? Next verse. If thou doest,
well,
if you do the right thing,
yes.
God says, shall not it be?
Yes.
And if thou doest not, if you don't do the right thing, he says, what?
Sin.
And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Sin lieth at the door is a word picture representation of the lion crouching, of Satan crouching down like a lion just to attack you. Mm-hmm. Sin lies at the door. Satan is crouching down because of your sin, waiting to pounce upon you. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about him walking about as a in Genesis, the Old Testament, so in the New Testament. When you don't do the right thing, that lion will crouch at the door to devour you. He said, because you are, if you don't get it right, not only is it going to try to devour you, but it's also going to rule over you. Sin will be your master, and you will be his slave, and you will have no. Why? Because you just won't get it right. In whose eyes, Lord, I want to be right.
Yes.
Next verse reads, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. But now Cain is mad. He has not repented. Cain has not got it right. He's mad that same music over and over in his heart. That same wrath, that same anger is playing over and over. Whatever plays here will seek what? Expression. It said, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and that meditation of his heart expressed itself. Slew Abel. Why? All he had to do, do you know how simple this is? Just go get an animal sacrifice, present it to God, and you're alright. But not when you have eyes that see not. And ears hear not, and a heart that does not understand. Now, I guarantee you, any of you right there would say, hey, let me get this sheep or this lamb and make it right. Isn't that a common sense thing to do? Right? But not when you're playing the wrong thing over your heart. It's not acceptable. That's why the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the
mercy
of God, that you present your
lives,
a living sacrifice. And present that body. You can't present that body to God with sin and everything that's wrong. It has to be the first thing of the flock. It has to be without spot and without blemish. You can't give God anything. Amen. Holy and acceptable unto God. Your sacrifice, what you're giving God, has to be holy and it has to be acceptable. And God asked them in Malachi this question. He said, a son honoreth his father. Amen. And a servant his master. God said, I'm in charge. If I be your father, where is my honor? If I be your master, where is my honor? Amen. In other words, what they were doing, they said, look, we got to give God a sacrifice, so we're going to give him stuff that nobody else wants. We're going to give God stuff that we won't give the job. Somebody said, don't get personal. Well, we're going to give God stuff we won't even give our husband or wife. We're going to give to God something we won't give our best friend. God said, where's my honor? Where's my honor? Amen. You've given me that which is secondary. God says, when you know I require your best, a living sacrifice. Amen. It's time that we get on God's side. Let me finish this up. Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Now, this is him getting smart with God, because he knew Abel's name meant keeper. He said, am I my brother's Abel? How are you already wrong? You've already messed up. You don't have the presence of mind to get it right still? That meditation, whatever's in there, keeps playing itself out. If you don't get it out of your heart, it will see expression. The next verse reads, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. God said, okay, you didn't tell me. Well, you forgot I'm God, and I see and know everything. He said, I know in your wrong, in your sin, you killed your brother, then you buried him, and his blood is crying from the ground. You don't have to tell me because I'm God, and I see everything. Because I sit high, but I look low. He said, and now art thou cursed. Oh, go back. Thy brother's blood is crying unto you. Thought you did. God said that wrong. It's still crying out to me. I want to be right in whose eyes? God's eyes. Next verse now. And now thou art cursed from the earth which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tellest the ground, keep on to the next one. He talks about him being a vagabond and every man's hand, and then God put a mark on Cain. Cain says to God, instead of saying, Lord, I'm sorry. That meditation of his heart did not ever stop playing itself out. Because he refused to let the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart be
acceptable.
Present your body
living sacrifice,
holy and be not conformed as well, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may show everybody else what is that good and
acceptable.
To be acceptable, you got to do what's right in God's eyes. Not a man's eyes, not anyone else's eyes. Instead of Cain repenting, when your meditation in your heart is wrong, it will continue to play itself over and over and over and over and over. So somebody said, well, I'm tired of hearing that stuff about sin. I'm going to another church. It's going to keep playing itself over and over and over. Somebody said, well, he got incarcerated, but did he get it right? He came out. Guess what he did? That's serious. If you don't clean up the heart, it's going to seek expression as we stand. Cain said, my punishment, you know, as the altar team and the ministers come forward and Minister Paul does the altar call, you'd think that he would have come to himself and realized I'm messing up. My situation is not getting better, but getting what?
Worse.
But Cain refused to be right before God. Dear Lord, I come. You know, the only thing that counts for me this afternoon is I want to be right in the eyes of God. Dear Lord, I come withholding. If I come to the altar, I'm not going to put 99.9% on the altar and hold that 0.01% back. Dear Lord, I come withholding nothing. And I have but one desire. Today, Lord, all I have is on the altar. Now, the fire is symbolic of God accepting your offering, your sacrifice. Lord, send the fire. If God does not send the fire like he did with Elijah, with the prophets of the Baal and the Grove, your offering is not acceptable. So, Lord, dear Lord, send the fire. Why, Lord, today I surrender all. All to thee I freely give. How many want to be right in the eyes of God? Well, it's time for a man to go examine himself to see if you're in the faith or not.